a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The Joint Appropriations Interim Committee meeting immediately following the sine die of the 2013 legislative session. Secretary, call the roll.
Bolin, Carson,
here.
Dryden, Hager,
here.
Holly,
here.
Mickelson,
here.
Werner,
here.
Wismer,
here.
Adelstein, Heineman,
here.
Jones, Northrup,
here.
Sutton,
here.
Tiedemann,
here.
Van Gerpen,
here.
White,
here.
Peters,
here.
Ramkema,
here.
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. I'd like to thank members of the committee for their many long hours that we put in. In my opinion, we put together a very nice budget. Again, congratulations and thank you to both sides of the aisle. Appreciate the collegiality and the cooperation, House and Senate. And I think the final product we came up with is very good for the citizens of South Dakota. And if the co-chair wishes to just...
I'll just piggyback on a little bit as far as thanking everybody for working so hard. I know we work probably more hours cumulative than any other committee in session, and I just appreciate all the time and the energy that you all put forth and the ideas and the questions and keep those things rolling through the summer, because we don't want to stop what we've started. So keep that up, and hopefully we'll start with the ground running in the fall. So thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Peters. I think we'll just go right into our letters of intent. And with your permission, I'll just use voice votes. And we'll start out with the letter A. And either Senator Peters or Representative Carson wish to speak to it. And I'll leave you an opportunity to speak to it. And if there are any questions, we can use a standard procedure, and then we can do a voice vote.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Senator Peters.
Thank you. Just to give a quick heads up on what the draft letter of intent A is for. If you guys recall House Bill 1137, the governor did a line item veto on the distribution of those funds. Basically, the bill had stated it was for distribution based on the 12 population or per student and numbers. And so this just tells the second floor or the executive branch how to distribute the money. Basically on the 13 numbers, which is the latest and greatest number we have for the per student allocation for the schools. And so with that, that's basically what this does, is it replaces the 12 per student allocation number with a 13 enrollment data, and which is the most current. So I'd appreciate your favorable support.
Any committee questions? Any committee questions? Any committee questions? All in favor of adopting? Is there a motion to adopt the letter of intent A? It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, having received sufficient votes, letter of intent number A has been adopted. Draft letter of intent B.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Peters.
I'll do it right this time. I would move passage of letter intent B for discussion.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to adopt letter of intent B. Are there any discussion? Any proponents?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Peters.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the same situation that we had in letter of intent A, a similar amendment that dealt with the technical institutes and how the money is to be distributed based on the 13 enrollment data instead of the 12 enrollment data. And so I just encourage passage of the letter of intent so we have a clear and concise method of distributing the funds. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any questions? Are there any questions? Are there any questions? Hearing none, all in favor of adopting letter of intent B, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Letter of intent B is adopted. Moving on to letter of intent C. Letter of intent C. Senator Northrup, do you wish to move that?
I do, Mr. Chair.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Comments?
What this does is it gives the Office of School and Public Lands the flexibility to take some money that we appropriated for the repair of dams and use it for the monitoring of dams. And we think that that's the best use of dollars, and a particular dam, Richmond Dam, that monitoring is a better use of money than repair. So we would just give them the School of Public Lands the flexibility to do what we think is in the best interest of the citizens of South Dakota. And so I would ask for your yes vote.
Are there any other comments? Are there any other comments? Hearing none, all in favor of adopting letter of intent C, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Having received unanimous votes, letter of intent C is adopted. Moving on to letter of intent D. Is there a motion to adopt?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adopt letter of intent D. Senator Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we appropriated money in our general bill of House Bill 1185, as you all recall, in the discussions we had with the Department of Corrections, the Unified Judicial System, and the Attorney General, we know that we appropriated money out of other funds, out of the Law Enforcement Training Fund. We also know, based on the testimony that the Attorney General office had, that fund is deficit spent. There's no balance in the money, and we've appropriated money out of that fund. The Attorney General, I believe, had one of the ideas of better collection and or raise fees in order to make it so we wouldn't have to keep dipping into the general fund. This letter of intent basically addresses those three agencies and talks to them about be cognizant of the fund, be cognizant of the balance in the fund, and then come up with a source or a way to rectify the situation as far as don't deficit spend this account, be cognizant of the other agencies that are also using this fund, and come up with an alternative plan of what you're going to do with this fund. And one of those alternatives in the last sentence basically says it should not include fee increases. So if they can come up with an alternative that it does include a fee increase, if that's one of the options they choose, but one of the options they present to us at the end of this calendar year would be void of a fee increase, and they have to be fiscally responsible with that fund. And so this just encourages them to be all three entities that use that fund and pull money out of that fund. I want them to be cognizant and then also come up with a plan to get themselves out of deficit spending that funding source. So with that, I'd appreciate your favorable support.
Are there any committee questions? Any committee questions? Hearing none, all in favor of adopting letter of intent D, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. Letter of intent D is adopted. Letter of intent E. Senator Tiedemann.
Would you ask for
a motion? I'm asking for a motion. And it's been moved and seconded to adopt letter of intent E. Comments, Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This letter of intent really just carves out $150,000 of the $500,000 one-time money that goes to the experiment station. And the intent of this that it would be focused on no-till farming systems, not identifying a particular research station, but just the subject matter, no-till farming. Very critical in the time when we are facing low moisture situations. All the moisture that you can conserve through minimum till, no-till, helps make a huge difference on the final yield.
Just spelled the
Dwayne
Beck sentence.
Yes. Any questions?
Any questions on the committee? Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question as to, I guess, where did this particular idea come from? We had passed the $500,000, and I'm not sure that we had any intent on that, did we? Was there anything other than just the $500,000? Where did the 150 come from, and I guess how come?
Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, really, it came from discussions with the House members as we were putting the final budget together, and there was a strong interest from the House members that this be carved out as we go forward.
Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Senator, what's the reaction of the folks Mr. Dean and Mr. Dunn and some of the folks over at South Dakota State? Have they commented on this at all to you?
Mr. Chair,
Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the question. Yes, I have visited with the Dean of Agriculture, who oversees the director of the Ag Experiment Station. They see $350,000 that has no particular ties. It's one-time money. They see that as being a very valuable investment. They're not upset with $150,000 being designated to a certain area at this point in time. They were just very happy campers. They were getting something.
Senator Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Will they still feel that way with 115? Does that play a role in this?
Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the question, Senator Sutton. You know, the Senate Bill 115 was designated specifically to do soil research, looking at the application of the soil nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, potash, the major ones, and sulfur, iron, magnesium, the minor elements that are put on. The no-till focus, that also would have a component, because you have to look at how you apply in a no-till situation. Just spreading it on the top may not be the best way. You're going to want to put it on in small amounts with the seed, and so application will be different. It would have been great if Senate Bill 115 had passed, but we all know it didn't get enough votes. And so they'll work with the talents that have been given to them at this point in time, and I still think that we'll see great results to come out of it. If I may, Mr. Chair, when we had the Russian delegation from Krasnodar come to South Dakota, one of the things that they went back with was, we have to move to no-till. And at 2001, it was a law that you had to plow your ground totally. So it had to be black in Krasnodar. Now, what's their biggest problem? Wind erosion. So when you plow and you expose all that soil to wind, you have a huge problem. The Minister of Agriculture went back to Krasnodar and said, we're going to change. We are going to go to no-till because of what he saw at Dakota Lakes Research Farm, the no-till that was being done there. So it's not just an impact in South Dakota. It's an impact worldwide, because we can control soil erosion here and not cause damages to the atmosphere. But if they're doing it in the rest of the world, we're just a microcosm in the total issue. So it's a huge point.
Representative Werner.
Thank you. So how did we come up with this $150,000? What's the breakdown?
Mr. Chairman, I think you need to talk to your House leader.
Senator Nolstrup, and then, sorry, follow-up.
Follow-up. So I guess my question then comes, if we vote against it, they would still have $500,000. They could still put the emphasis towards no-till. And I hate segmenting stuff up, because then the pot gets drawn down. I'm just going to say that I probably will not support this because of that. They can still encourage that emphasis.
Response. Senator Nostrup has a comment, and then I'll...
Mr. Chair, if you could defer to the sponsor to respond to the question, I'd be very interested in what your answer was as to what Representative Werner had to say, or what...
Representative Mickelson.
Mr. Chair, I just found... There's not very many places that South Dakota's technology is actually ahead of the rest of the world. And because of where we live and our climate and our soil types and our moisture conditions, we actually we lead the world in no-till farming practices. And that's a fact. And that's kind of a historical accident from a guy that, you know, named Dwayne Beck, that kind of does this stuff. And so I think this letter is a reflection that says, listen, let's make sure that we continue to fund the no-till research that goes on in our state. So, I mean, I can't speak towards why it's $150,000 and not all $500,000 or not $10,000. I mean, I don't know, but I can tell you that this, you know, the practice is we do lead the country in no-till farming practices. So I have no problems supporting the bill.
Senator Nostrup.
Thank you. I'm going to be a no vote on this. And the reason I am is I think we're micromanaging. I think the experts have got the authority to spend it on the best program available. And if no-till happens to be as one of the top programs, then that's what they'll spend it on. And if it's not high on their list, then they'll spend it someplace else. And so I'm going to be a no vote.
Representative Holly.
Yeah, I guess that was my question, too, back to the sponsor. If we don't pass this, they still would have the option. If they want to spend it on no-till, they could do that, correct? There's nothing to preclude that. They would have the decision at that time. Thank you.
Senator Peters.
Thank you. I guess I just want to clarify. We were working late into the hours, obviously, the last session, putting together amendments and running the general bill and pushing some of the spending bills out there that had conference committees. And this was one of the items that was discussed. And this was part of the leadership's thing. So before we vote something down, we should probably take a few minutes to gather all of the information, because this was part of the discussions that we had 2 weeks ago as far as how the money was going to funnel through. This was on the House discussion side and not the Senate side, but we felt it was important to do it this way. And so... I see Representative Wink is here. Maybe he can help us with maybe some of the details on it.
I'm sorry, I came in. Are you talking about the amendment that I proposed?
No, this is the Ag Experiment Station. Representative Cronin and you, and I think, I don't know a lot of the details, but this was a part of the discussion in the House leadership, I was under the impression. So,
if I may, Mr. Chair.
Representative Holly.
The neat thing is I'd have no ties, because this is the first we've heard about it, period. I think the simple discussion, rather than House leadership, House Republican caucus would have had the discussion, but there's never been a mention to us at all about it, so I have no problems voting against this.
I wish I could add to the discussion. I think Representative Cronin would be a lot better person to, because I think he was in on the discussions. And I can go try and find it if you...
We can move this to the bottom of the calendar and then come back to it. Let's do that. It's getting a little hot. All right. Letter of intent, F1. Letter of intent, F1. Chair to entertain a motion.
I'll move.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Any proponents to talk to this?
Yeah.
Representative Mickelson.
We lost our proponent and Representative Wing. But provided this proves not to be as talkative as the last letter of intent, these are the guidelines for a new grant program in the amount of $500,000. It's a K-12 technology program. By definition, the money reverts, so that's not open to discussion. That's just the way the law works. The powers that be said, well, $20,000 a district, so you could see that with $500,000, we can fund maybe up to 25 districts. The purpose of the fund was not to fund every school's technology needs, because there's a recognition that some districts have a better ability to meet their needs through their capital outlay fund, so this was meant to help districts that need technology and have limited means to meet the need. There's a matching requirement in 4. Grant applications June 15th. And then we will get a report in 7 that tells us in December how well did the program work. That concludes my comments. I urge your support.
Any questions? Are there any questions? Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. I see that it says the criteria may include the district's reserve accounts as well as a scoring metrics developed by the Department of Ed as part of the grant approval process. And the conversation has been with the Department of Ed in terms of how they will develop that scoring matrix. Will that go through rules, or how will they – is that – I mean, they're comfortable with creating a scoring metrics by which you can – award this grant?
Representative Mickelson.
Yes.
Any further questions?
Representative
Wismer. Excuse me. Representative Wismer, I didn't see you.
Wait, I'm at the end of the table. Can't you see me?
I have a question on item number 4 on that letter, on the matching requirements. I read that to say that the school would need to match on a project that costs $10,000, they could match up to put in $3,000 of their own money if they'd like, but not necessarily. Is that the way you mean to read it, or do you mean it to say that they must provide 30% of the total?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wismer. No, I think it's a must, as currently written.
Well,
would be expected, yeah.
Up to 30% doesn't say that to me. That says, and so would be expected to match the grant funds at 30% of the project, so probably what we want.
Well, let me read.
Representative Mickelson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wismer, I'll amend my answer. I think there's an expectation that there be a match of some sort, and the expectation is that match won't exceed 30%. That's probably a better interpretation of that requirement.
Okay.
Thank you, Representative Wismer, from your comfort of your home.
Hey, I'm at my office.
Doing taxes, no doubt. Any further questions? Senator Nostrup.
Question and comment maybe to the sponsor. I'm okay with what you're saying with the matching. Would you then have that part of the matrix, and the higher the school district matches, the more likely they are to be accepted? Or the question is, who ultimately decides if it's a 1% match or a 30% match?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mickelson.
Department of Education.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Any further questions? All in favor of adopting letter of intent F1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Having received sufficient votes, letter of intent F1 is adopted. Okay, letter of intent G1. Is there a motion to adopt letter of intent G1?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt letter of intent G1. Is anyone to speak to that? Senator Van Gripen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, let me express my thank you to Representative Carson and Representative Holly, who were doing a great job putting this all together. As you know, several years ago, we lost some funding from the state to the counties to help pay the salaries of the Veteran Service Officer and the Tribal Veteran Service Officer. Through this piece of legislation, we have reinstated 100 lost the number here. $146,000, $146,875 to fund the salary reimbursement of these folks. During the summer, there will be a committee comprised of 6 individuals that will serve on a work group, and they're going to review the services of the state veterans and be sure that we're working at optimum level and ensure that our veteran service officers and our tribal veteran service officers are able to fully do the job that we need to have them be doing to be taking care of our veterans. And you have a list there from where these individuals should be selected to serve on the committee. The Department of the Military, the South Dakota Veterans Council, the County Veterans Service Officer, the Tribal Veterans Service Officer, the South Dakota Veterans Commission, and the South Dakota County Commissioners Association. And by October 1st of 2013, this year, they will give us a written report, and we'll be able to proceed from there. So I would move that we pass this draft letter of intent, G1.
Representative Warner.
Thank you. Is one of the emphasis of this committee to research the options of further consolidation of services in order to make available more full-time VSOs versus part-times?
Senator Van Gerpen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sure they're going to look at all avenues as to how they can use these dollars and use the county support dollars as efficiently as possible. And I think they want to make sure that we're getting the best return for the investment in these officers, county service veterans officers, and the TVSO officers. And so I would think that that would be one of the areas that they would look at.
President Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is why the committee is being formed. The six different people are being formed in the committee to make sure that things are being done more efficiently than what maybe what they've been done in the past. That's the ideal of the committee.
Senator Nofstrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this question is to anybody. Is it within the scope of a letter of intent to appropriate new money? Is that within the scope?
Representative Carson.
The money's on general, it's in General Bill 1185, page 47, line, I believe, 17. It says operating expenses. It's included in that $200,000+. I don't have the bill in front of me, but if you look at the bill, it's been included in 1185, sir.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess what I would question is the wording says we're approving an ongoing appropriation. It doesn't necessarily say that we're directing a particular department to spend the money in a particular place. So I understand what the representative from Davidson County is saying, but I also question whether the words match up with that.
Representative Carson.
Restate your concern there, sir.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that letters of intent can give a department or agency a sense of what we believe in and what we would like them to do, but it cannot appropriate new money. And so if the money's already in the general bill, and all we're doing is giving our sense of our intent, I'm okay with that. But if it's a new appropriation, which is what it says on the first line.
It says approved in an ongoing appropriation. That's what I'm reading. Representative Wismer.
Legislative Joint Committee on Probed to South Dakota Legislature. 2013 South Dakota Legislature approved an ongoing probe, and I think that will address it.
I'm okay, thank you.
So we insert SD.
And make it so that it's worded the same as the lead, the first line of the rest of the letters.
Very good, Representative Wismer. Glad you caught that. You may have to do more legislating from your office. Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would just have to express my appreciation to both Senator Van Gerpen and Representative Carson. I know when we had this discussion in appropriations, and if we're going to renew the state's investment in this, I know there was a great deal of discussion about the efficiency and making sure that these each of the county officers are really fulfilling the needs or handling the needs for the veterans. So I appreciate what they've done. I've also appreciated that we've received a schedule that Secretary Zimmerman will be going out to each of the agencies and really doing that review. So I think coming from that discussion in appropriations, I really appreciate the fact that along with the investment is the really look at making sure that these are as efficiently run as possible.
Representative Warner.
I have a clarification question. So on the funding, my understanding is that this funding, this additional funding now, they will have to apply for. Where the original money, they were just granted it, it was forwarded to them without having to go through an application process. And that concerns me because I can assure you 66 counties and how many ever tribes, that there'll be county commissions that will have overlooked this. And why aren't we handling it the way we always have been? Or am I missing something?
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, I think that originally it was on a grant situation. I think maybe, you know, we could add that back into it, that wording back into it, that they had to apply and then they'd receive the money. Is that your concern? That, or did you, your concern is they just want the county to receive the check?
In the past, the way it's occurred is the county submitted their bills and then they got reimbursed. My understanding is to now they'd have to apply. Is that procedure still the same? That's what I'm getting at.
No, but if you look at the statute,
reimbursement in accordance with those two things.
Right. It's a reimbursement according to South Dakota Codified Law 33A-1-31 and Codified Law 33A-1-32. And that goes back to the way it was originally.
Any further questions? Any further questions? Hearing none, all in favor of adopting draft letter of intent G1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Having received sufficient vote, letter of intent G1 is hereby adopted. Now we'll go back to letter of intent E. Letter of intent E. Is there anyone here to clarify or further clarify, hopefully, this contentious letter of intent?
I move the case.
I see Representative Cronin is rushing up with some new information. Representative Cronin, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Justin Cronin, representative from District 23. My apologies. During the last few days of session, my House members were not... Appropriations members were not in when we discussed it in the caucus, so that's my fault, and I sure apologize for that. This $150,000 at Dakota Lakes Research Farm, as we sit here today, they have raised are just in the finishing process of raising $250,000 to put up a new building which will house a camelina fuel system. Somewhat like an ethanol fuel system. And they want to start doing some research that, you know, it's been in a number of magazines across the country that could be the next, will be, according to some of the people in the military, the next aviation fuel source. In South Dakota right now, you can't get crop insurance on camelina. So we want to do some more research to try and get that moving forward. With that, this $150,000, the equipment out there for this new plant or facility will be, of course, brand new, but the actual equipment they use on the research farm, the newest piece of equipment they have as far as a tractor was built in 1985. And you all know how technology has taken over. I'm not saying that this is going to go buy them a new tractor, but a shot of one-time money can help with buying some new equipment to make the equipment we use up to date a little bit, you know, move it forward. And then on top of that, with the closing of the cattle facility in Cottonwood, there's interest. A lady's moving to town with her husband, who happens to be she works in the medical field and is thinking about moving to Pierre to work at the new Avera St. Mary's Hospital. And he's a bovine scientist. And they would like to see maybe down the road him come to work at Dakota Lakes Research Farm and be a part of utilizing the byproduct of camelina to see how it would affect, use it for feed, if much to the same way we do with ethanol and soybean byproducts. So with that, I hope I shed a little bit more light on it. That was, you know, the $150,000 was a number that the Senator Tiedemann and myself talked about. We have a lot of research farms in this state that have closed down in the last 10 years, and this is one of the ones that not only just runs as a sole SDSU facility. They work with the Board of Regents. They also work. It's a farmer owned facility and operated. I think the main employee out there is an employee, I believe, of the Board of Regents, Dwayne Beck. So with that, I'd stand by for any questions, I guess.
Any further committee questions? Any further committee questions? Senator Hyman.
I guess I'm a little more confused. Does that what's that have to do with no-till? Is that the same as no-till farming then?
Well, yeah. Mr. Chair, thank you. Madam Senator, the no-till farming systems would be your technology-based, you know, a 1985 tractor, you can only put so much on this tractor that will benefit what we talked about in for instance, Senate Bill 115 today. There's fertilizer systems on drills now. Everything that's happening out there now, they're having to, you know, hobnob things together, and just to have some money out there, starting with this new Camelina project as well, bringing the status of the equipment up, you know, not necessarily up to date, because to do that it costs you $750,000 to get, you know, a new tractor and a planter anymore, and there's a whole bunch of other you know, other things out there that they utilize pretty well. I mean, they've gotten by quite well over time. I just think with this new facility going in, if we could just give them a boost to come up to that. And it is all no-till farming research there. Not all. I'd say 90% of it. But with that is no-till farming. I like to call it precision farming more than just no-till. I mean, it's all about precise placement of the seed, precise fertilizer units per acre, and so on.
Any further questions? Representative Warner.
Thank you. So if I heard you right, Representative Cronin, you said to the Dakota Lakes Research Farm, and here it says research stations. So to me, it's not specific to that scenario. And then my prior question before you coming in here is, how did we determine $150,000?
Well,
I understand that a 1985 tractor doesn't even have GPS on it. So my intent would be to just, you know, have an emphasis, because who knows, the $150,000, nobody has been able to give me the answer of where they think they're going to use it. Just allow them to take whatever they need out of that $500,000.
Well, to answer that question, sorry, Mr. Chair.
Proceed.
You know, I had discussions with Senator Tiedemann, and with at first we had talked about splitting the $500,000, because I thought, you know, let's split it between kind of a central location and then the university, because I thought the university had gotten quite a bit already this year through experiment monies. And he said, but that, you know, you can leverage that stuff in both cases so well. And so with federal funds, if you want to use it as such, where if they were to bring in a bovine scientist, they could leverage it. So the 150 was just something that I guess I was willing to compromise on and allow a little more to go to Brookings, where there's more diversity there. Here is more into the no-till and then this new Camelina research. And so that's kind of where I came up with the number. I guess as far as the letter of intent and how it's sent out, I would have to defer to the senator on how he drafted the letter and how we know it'll go to the no-till farming system.
Senator Tiedemann.
Mr. Chairman, well, the $150,000 was, when you look at that, they have the Southeast Farm Research Station located down by Beresford. And again, research station and farms are somewhat interchangeable. Why? Because the producers helped pay for the land down at the Southeast Farm. But they have state employees working at those research stations, and a portion of the buildings are owned by the state. Then you have the research station or farm located north of Watertown. Then you have the research station that's located at Antelope and one that's located at Cottonwood. And then you have Dakota Lakes. Somewhat differently, Antelope and Cottonwood, those are all on state land. Again, as the good representative from Gettysburg stated, is that if you carve out $150,000 just to go to one research station, if you carved out $500,000 to go there, then how do you help take care of the other ones that are also underfunded? You can utilize these dollars to be leveraged for federal dollars, federal grants, as well as private dollars from soybean, corn, wheat, in order to do the research programs. They have different emphases in each one of the areas. Primary emphasis at Dakota Lakes is no-till precision farming. No-till because we're in much drier conditions here than in Beresford or even Watertown. The camelina is really a new oil seed crop that's coming in. Carinata is another one. They don't have the no-till equipment ready to go for that particular crop. This will help him adapt to that and open it up to not only central South Dakota, but western South Dakota, to break up the wheat-on-wheat situation we have out west, which reduces your disease problems, increases yields, gives farmers and ranchers a greater opportunity for making money. And with that, Mr. Chair, I know I can't do it, but I would move to table it.
Mr. Chair?
That's out of order. Representative Holly.
I move to table.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made to table the motion. Not debatable. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
This has been tabled. Letter of intent E.
Roll call.
Roll call has been called. I have no objection. Secretary, call the roll. This is to on the motion to table. But as I understand it, that there'll be this is a letter of intent. It would not affect the $500,000. Simply would take away the letter of intent. Representative Warner.
Bolin.
Pass.
Carson.
I moved the table. Oh, I'm sorry.
Aye.
Yes. Yes.
Dryden.
No.
Hager.
Yes.
Holly.
Yes.
Mickelson. Oh, he's not here. Werner.
Yes.
Wismer.
Aye.
Edelstein. Heineman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
No.
Van Gerpen.
No.
White. Peters.
No.
Romkma.
No.
Bolin.
No.
Mickelson. Sutton.
Aye.
I have 9 ayes, 7 nays.
Having received insufficient votes, this is not tabled and is still alive.
You
need 10 votes. I received 9. So this letter of intent E is not tabled. It is still alive. Any further questions, comments? We're back to the original motion, which is to adopt letter of intent E. Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question. So if we don't have this, and we have the $500,000. Do each of the agricultural stations that Senator Tiedemann mentioned still get to apply for the dollars and have to go through the application process and determine which are the valid or which are the grants that they would give?
Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Heineman, I thank you for the question. But the way it would go right now, the $500,000 would go to the Agriculture Experiment Station. The director of the Agricultural Experiment Station would have the flexibility to put that money any place that he so choose. One-time expenditures. It could be for equipment. It could be for remodeling a station. There's no directive. The intent of the letter that's currently before us was to give some direction of how it should be spent. And that, again, was at the request of the House. So I just carried the amendment for the letter of intent.
Any further questions? further questions? All in favor of adopting letter of intent E, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Roll call has been called.
Boland.
Pass.
Carson.
No.
Dryden.
Aye.
Hager.
No.
Holly. Mickelson. Werner.
No.
Wismer. Representative Wismer?
Wismer, are you there?
Adelstein? Heineman?
No.
Jones?
No.
Nordstrup?
No.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Van Gerpen?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Ronkema?
Aye.
Bolin?
Aye.
I have 8 ayes, 7 nays.
Having received insufficient votes, letter of intent E has not been adopted. Are there any other letters of intent to be brought forth to the Joint Appropriations Committee? Senator Tiedemann? Okay, Senator Peters has one.
All right, so this isn't in proper form, so please bear with me. It was just brought to my attention that we missed the one in Senate Bill 90 for the Medicaid providers. Last year when we did the one-time bonus for the Medicaid providers, we had the distribution of how that money was going to be calculated in the formula. Barb is passing around what the intent of Senate Bill 90 was and which providers were going to get the first 1% and which providers were allowable to get the second 1% money. So this, it's not in proper form. I would assume we would use the same template as last year with a couple of caveats, and that would be in the first page that we would see. The first thing would be to establish a minimum threshold of $100 for the bonuses to be paid for providers. Some of the things we ran into last year is that some of the providers who don't have a high Medicaid patient base, provider rate, you pay them $100 for the entire year, well, then they have to do a percentage of the 1% of the $100, and they're tending out checks for less than $100 or less than $1, and checks for less than $50, and costs sometimes more money to produce the check than actually sending it out. So what we're trying to do here is reduce the burden of administration of producing the bonus money to a de minimis threshold, as far as to establish a minimum threshold of $100 to be paid out to any provider. And then the second item is to clarify that only in-state providers qualify for the one-time dollars. For those of you, we do have some providers that are out-of-state, and this is consistent, I believe, with what we've done in the past when we do one-time money to providers. Because when we send individuals out-of-state for treatment, I believe that's a negotiated contracted rate that we pay them, and so that would be outside of their contract. So we want to, one, add a de minimis threshold in there to reduce the burden of the cost of administering the one-time money to providers, put in a clarification that only in-state providers qualify, and then if you recall Senate Bill 90 for the providers, this was just a one-time bonus money. We didn't put requirements on the education facilities as far as they needed to use their one-time money for bonuses like we did last year. This is just simply one-time money for them to use for whatever purposes they need. If they wanted to use it for bonuses, they can. If they want to use it for equipment purchases, or they can. But this is really to focus, get the opportunity out there for the providers to know which ones qualify for the one-time 1% and then which ones qualify for the second one-time 1% bonus that was discussed in Senate Bill 90, and then with the two other caveats as far as establishing the minimum, de minimis threshold, and then also clarify the in-state facilities. So are there any questions? I know it's a last-minute deal, but I guess I was sleeping at the wheel maybe a little bit on this one and didn't realize it wasn't included. So,
is there a second to this? We'll call it letter of intent H. Excuse me, I. Letter of intent I. Questions? President Werner?
I'm fully in support of it. I just want a clarification. So is this on, since it was in last year's one time, is it for services that would be performed in 2013? And then how do they get reimbursed for this? I'm procedurally, I'm just trying to figure out how do these places get their money and what services was it for?
Senator Peters.
You're going to have to, someone's going to have to help me remember how we did this last year, but it's based on a calculation, I think, on providers, and I think they do it on a calendar year. I'm looking for somebody.
It's a fiscal year.
So the providers know how we calculated it last year. They understand the policy and the procedure. Basically, it's based on how much money we've appropriated to them or how much money they've received on the Medicaid side of it, and they're given a certain percent of that. Is that correct? I'm looking at our provider friends here who know how they get their own money. So
it's based on the size of the contract.
Size of the contract.
Where's order?
So then, if I'm looking at this right, it'd be a one-time reimbursement in June? Would that sound right?
Or prior to it, it would be in this fiscal year. I believe that was the intent.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for the clarification. Or somewhat.
Representative Mickelson.
I have a question. I understand hospitals, and I understand physicians. Pharmacies and durable medical equipment providers. And this is, if someone knows the answer to this, prescription drug prices are set by the industry. And are we paying a service fee to fill a prescription drug? And so the pharmacy line item that's on this sheet, that's $361,000, that goes to the local pharmacist for his service and labor? Or does that go to the drug companies? That's my question. I guess I'll say that question for next year.
I believe the powers that be will probably email you the answer momentarily. I'm sure they're listening.
Any further questions? Any further questions? Hearing none. All in favor of the letter of intent? Aye. Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Letter of intent I is hereby adopted. Okay. Now we have letter of intent H. Is there a motion? This looks familiar. Okay, you should all now have draft letter of intent H. Is there a motion to adopt? Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adopt letter of intent H. Anyone who speaks? Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I only bring this forth for your possible consideration. House Bill 1049 moved the dollars from the Governor's Office of Economic Development over to the Department of Agriculture. I think it was about $135,000. It had always been focused on value-added agriculture, but it was located in GOED. There were also two FTEs that went with that. But if you read through the bill, the FTEs did not move. So this is a suggestion that the Department of Ag consider contracting with the Value Added Agriculture Development Center, which has a board that helps in deciding where to invest some of the money in order to add value to agricultural products, businesses across the state. And with that, I stand by for any questions.
Are there any questions? Representative Mickelson.
The Value Ag Subfund came into being under the Governor Rounds administration. The Ready Fund is an economic development fund. They said, we're going to put $3 million into a lot of little deals, $50,000 value ag loan funds. The demand wasn't really there for the concept. They're moving it from economic development to ag. And if we pass this, you're going to take money that was intended to be loaned and you're going to use it up, and it will never be repaid. So you're kind of going down a road that was not intended when we started. It doesn't mean it's not a good road, but you ought to limit it. I mean, because there's $3 million in the sub fund or whatever it is. We don't want them going out and contracting a large amount of this, I don't think. So my suggestion would be that we consider amending the letter to some not to exceed a dollar amount, Senator Tiedemann.
Senator Tiedemann.
And I would agree with that amendment. I think the $135,000 that was transferred from GOED to the Department of Ag is the dollar amount that I would look at as the upper amount.
This is not the money loaned out. This is money attached to people. They have no.
Representative Mickelson.
I have a question. So are you asking us to give authority to spend out of the fund, or are you asking us to just transfer general funds from GOED to Ag for these two staff positions?
Senator Tiedemann.
My idea is that the Department of Ag would be able to contract a portion of that $135,000 that's going to the Value Added Agriculture Development Center, which works across the state in working with those folks to add value to agricultural products, not the $3 million that's on a loan basis.
Representative Warner.
Questions, Senator Tiedemann. So is this funding going to the same program that Dallas Tanzinger was? Is that where we're going? Is that the Value Added Center?
Yes.
Senator Tiedemann.
That could be. I know it. That currently it's Sherry Rath that runs
that's,
it.
Same thing. That's why I just want to make sure everybody's on that same page. Okay.
Question. Based on what Representative Mickelson stated, there's $3 million in this fund. I would certainly hate to see that spent. As amended, if we're proposing an amendment to limit it to $135,000, I assume that's where we're kind of headed here.
Mr. Chair, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there's two pots of money, as I'm understanding the being told to me. There's a loan fund, and then there's an administrative amount. And as I'm understanding Senator Tiedemann's comments, what he's talking about is the administrative amount. So I would just amend this letter of intent to say not the fund, the administrative amount associated with administering the fund, not to exceed $135,000 a year.
My question is, do we have to deal with this today? Could we deal with this in June? It's getting a little complicated.
June's
fine. Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're transferring the administrative amount, but will the Department of Ag need to have some administrative dollars to work with these funds rather than contracting it all with the Value Added Ag Development Center? Won't they also have some administrative cost working with this fund?
Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would assume that they would, but if you look at the bill that was passed, there was nothing put in place. Now, they also have the economic development portion within Department of Ag that goes out and does work across the state, if you remember your budget.
If I could.
Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I was just the clarification. I thought you said there was a $3 million transfer and $135,000. There's just the $3 million transfer. The $135,000 is not transferred at all.
Representative Mickelson.
I'm going to make a motion we defer this to a later meeting.
Motion made and seconded to defer to a later meeting. Discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. This has been deferred. Any other letters of intent to come before this committee? Okay, hearing none, we'll move into our East River tour. The suggested dates were June 10th through 14th. We understand we have some conflicts in that the E-Board is meeting on the 10th, and we have the governor's golf tournament is the 12th and 13th. So, are there other dates that are agreeable to this committee, or should we attempt to go on top of those?
Well,
purpose of discussion, is there any problem with the following week? Representative Boland.
Thank you. I think I emailed this to the staff. I'm going to be out of state basically during the original time from the 10th to the 14th, so I would much prefer a week later. That would be much better for me. Thank you.
Any other suggestions? So if I hear nothing, I'm assuming the 17th through the 20th or 21st is...
Can't.
Senator Peters cannot. Okay. And we're talking 24th through the 28th. Oh, yes, Representative Wismer.
The International Legislators Forum is meeting from Wednesday through Friday of the last week of June, the 26th and the 28th, and it would be travel up to Winnipeg, so that would affect a few of us.
Yeah. Okay, June 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th.
Which month are we in?
June. We're still in June.
June, don't you want to do it in?
Seems to be the most.
Before the end of the fiscal year.
Okay.
When would you leave for Winnipeg?
I think Wednesday morning would do it.
Okay. All right. So we would be pushing it if we did the 24th and 25th.
No, not for me. But check with Representative Hawley and Senator Keating.
Pressure's on, guys.
I think the chair says the meeting dates. We'll try our best to be there.
Are you not here on that other week, too?
Right. What I'm hearing is it's advantageous to have it toward the end of the month, so I'm thinking we should probably do 24th, 25th, 26th.
No. One-day deal?
Or 17, no, 3 days. 3 days.
And one of those days will have to be a meeting.
The tentative tours are the blood run, which is a new name, and perhaps a penitentiary, and bell cheese plants, whatever.
Huron, is there a new something going on in Huron?
Oh, yeah, the court of provisions, the hearing process. You go to LP and see the beat for we got the Jack Minks, both about 1,000 employees.
Okay.
And the tech school and Mitchell's been suggested as well.
Yeah, if you're in Sioux Falls, Southeast Tech is there too. And we could have a meeting at Southeast Tech. The Durfee, for some of the new folks,
I think the person would be
to see Mike Durfee and also to see the state pen. That's an eye-opening adventure for folks who have not done it. And since we do have a high percentage of new folks,
we could do that one.
You could tack that. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
If you tack the south end, the penitentiary, onto the tail end of the trip, both Senator Tiedemann and I have already done that part of the tour.
Right.
And then allow you to get out of town anyway.
Yep. I think that would actually probably work. Is to do that.
If you could just get the meeting part done on Monday or Tuesday. Business meeting.
Okay, we'll start in Sioux Falls. The LRC staff will probably work out the details, but tentatively. 24, 25, 26. Well, we do 24, 25, 26, and hopefully most of us can make it. And we'll end up up in Sioux Falls at some point.
We'll work on it.
End up in Huron. End up at the north end, whatever you pick to be the north. End up at the north end.
Might be Brookings. Is there any other business to come before the committee?
Let me just make an announcement about these summaries.
Okay, Fred, yes?
Yeah. Just real quick, I wanted to let identify the availability of a summary of the FY14 budget. This is something that you haven't seen. You've got a hard copy in your packet. It'll be posted to the internet. There's some interesting graphics in there that you may find useful in terms of explaining what has happened with the appropriation. In addition, there is the uses and sources scorecard will be updated as a final. The one that you have in your packet, we guessed wrong on the veto of Senate Bill 115, so it's off by 228,000 other funds. But we'll update that as it, when it goes to the internet. But we simply wanted to let you know that this will be available. Also, the agency by agency breakdown of the appropriations will be annotated with the amendments that were adopted to the general bill, and that will be posted to the internet. So just to advise you of the availability, and if you have questions, let us know.
Senator Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to thank you all for doing this. I remember this from last year. It was really helpful at the end of session to be able to go back through and review all the numbers and the percentages. So thank you. This is very, very helpful.
Are there any other questions or any other business to come before this committee? Hearing none, Chair to entertain a motion to adjourn. All in favor of adjourning, signify by saying aye.
Aye.